Welcome back to Women of Hope. And if you are finding the program helpful, stimulating, or any other descriptive adjective, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email to womenofhope@cwciaus.org.au. That's Women of Hope, all one word, at cwciaus.org.au. Or by snail mail to Post Office Box 115, Punchbowl, New South Wales 2196. That's Post Office Box 115, Punchbowl, New South Wales 2196. Today we are looking at the hope and heartache of drug use. And joining me is Stephen Lanini, a caseworker with the Salvation Army's Homelessness and Support Program. Stephen, I gather part of your job is searching your patch, under bridges, on park benches, etc., looking for homeless people. What brings people to such desperation?
Maybe because they have a drug and alcohol problem that's spilling out into their financial resources because they're using their money to purchase alcohol or drugs, therefore they're not paying the accommodation expenses, and then everything just starts to fall apart. Their health, their accessibility to accommodation or a landlord putting up with them, in those sort of contexts where no landlord's going to sustain you if you're not paying your rent, and so you're going to get kicked out into the street. And that starts a whole other cycle for people as well.
How do you get people out of the homelessness cycle once they're in this position?
It's probably more important, how did the people get in this position? What caused their situation that they now becoming dependent on a drug or alcohol, and they're spending their dollars on that? And that in itself is probably the unsaid part of just talking about drug and alcohol.
I would think it's an incredibly complex answer too.
Well, it is, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for why people in the end get caught up in a drug or alcohol situation. And there's no respecter of age. It can be a young adolescent right through to an older person. Suddenly their little bit of quiet social drinking has now become problematic to them and consuming their finances, and as they more and more alcohol they need or drug of choice. It's subtle too, because we have legislated drugs, you know, we've got cigarette and we've got alcohol readily available, and people can spend vast fortunes just on cigarettes or whatever and compromise their accommodation.
So what are some of the reasons that direct a person down that path? Depression?
Yeah, depression tends to be a significant fact, but you can have depression that comes out of their drug and alcohol abuse. So it's not necessarily true everybody that's depressed will become an alcoholic or a drug addict, for argument's sake. But what tends to happen is that if they have got a depression, rather than perhaps go to their doctor and own up to the depression, they may self-medicate, and so they use alcohol or mild forms of drugs, which become increasingly require higher levels to contain their mood, to elevate their mood, so that they have this sort of disassociation from their problems. Depression itself does not lead to a drug and alcohol, but often you'll find that with depression there'll be some self-medicating going on to control their flat mood and loss of interest in life. Might give them a wee bit of a buzz, and so they feel good for a wee while.
And other things then?
It can be mental health situations that can lead a person into a drug and alcohol, again, to offset some of the features of their mental health issues. And they self-medicate and perhaps totally avoid any pharmacological interventions like the antipsychotic medications and things like that.
What about family breakdown?
Yep, family breakdown is another one that tends to be, again, this is life issue stuff. How do I cope? How do I cope when things fall down around me, when relationships break up, when there's no support there? How do I support myself? And I might feel good for a wee while because I've used this particular substance, and I can forget things for a while, but it comes with a cost. And if you're on fixed incomes, the ability to sustain those becomes less and less according to that income that you're dipping into to support your habit.
What advice would you give to those people who care about them?
Probably the biggest thing, if you've got a family member who's in that situation, supporting them is probably going to be the most difficult thing that you do, particularly if they're stuck with their addiction. You've probably been let down, ripped off, abused verbally, physically, intimidated, threatened by this person whom you love. And working with them, you've got to have some clear boundaries about your own health and how much you can support that person. But one of them is to just be there and be available, but with clear boundaries around what that means for yourself and for that person. But they don't become dependent on you as well.
Earlier, Steve, you talked about life issues. So is it right from what you're saying, people's family of origin as well as their current circumstances can lead them to a sense of hopelessness and drug use?
When I talk about family of origin issues, I'm talking about what sort of family were you raised in? Was it a loving, nurturing family, or was it a dysfunctional family that didn't give you any value or meaning as a person? There may have been abuse, verbal, physical, sexual, a whole lot of things that have not helped you develop as a person into all that you could potentially be. And helping you to work through those later on may be why you turn to a drug or an alcohol as a means of supporting you with all this turmoil that's going on inside. Yet once you take away the drug or alcohol, there's still those issues, and so there's a need to address those life issues.
And you believe you can address those through the love of God?
Through the love of God. I say to some of my clients, it's not who I am, as to more the point of whose I am. You can love yourself, but it's in a relationship, it's about being loved that keeps you there. It's you being loved by the other person, and to know that God loves you and that God is interested in you tells you who you belong to. Doesn't mean that he's got a magic wand and that all your problems will disappear, but he can support you through a sense of belonging to a community, a church community, where there may be resources or people whom can gather around an individual and support them.
Do you believe that there is hope in every situation? Every situation is redeemable?
I tell people every situation is redeemable, but whether they want to encounter that redemption is really their choice. I can tell them that God loves them, that God can forgive them for anything and everything, and that's not selling them a cheap grace. That is the nature and character of God, that he does love us, and that if we come to him in repentance and forgiveness, that he forgives us. So there's nothing unforgivable in God's economy. They have value and meaning.
Steve, thank you.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Stephen Lanini, a Salvation Army caseworker, reminding us that no matter what our circumstances, no matter how desperate and hateful we feel, we are loved without judgment by our God in heaven. Words of great reassurance. Want to talk about your own family issues? We'd love to hear from you, and we can help with referrals to specialist organisations. Please contact us on 02 9740 6355. That's 02 9740 6355. Or send us an email to Women of Hope, all one word, at cwciaus.org.au. Women of Hope is a joint partnership between Transworld Radio Australia and Christian Women Communicating International in Australia. My name is Penny Mulvey, and joining me next week to look at living in the public eye are the delightful Marina Pryor and Changing Rooms host Deborah DeYoung. See you next week.